It's O'Neill Outside. On News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. For fishing and hunting or anything in the great outdoors, O'Neill Williams is your guide. Let's go outside with O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls, from the Bojangles studio high in the mountains of North Georgia. O'Neill Outside presents Real Tree Radio. Welcome to a brand new, unused Saturday morning. Yes, indeed. Great weekend coming up. I hope you'll make the outdoors part of it, you and your family. And you don't have to go fishing. You don't have to go hunting. Just go for a walk in the woods and enjoy some outdoors. So my pleasure to invite you to watch O'Neill Outside Television on the Pursuit Channel and Tough TV, Hunt Channel, Fox Sports, all across the country. And this week, Travis is hunting whitetail deer in Texas. And it's my privilege to invite you to watch if you can. Now, this radio program is brought to you every Saturday morning by Tough Shed, Horsetown, Hayes Auto, Realtree, Fire Aid, Timbuktu Outdoors, True Turn, Roadrunner, Crocodile Bay Lodge and Resort, Striplings, Works Tools, the Whitetail Institute, Rugged Ridge Jeep Parts, and Thoroughgood Boots. And so they do that every week so that I can talk to you guys. It's 7.5 minutes after the hour, and we got a busy hour coming up. We'll have the Silent Hero Award, the Medal of Honor, and the Dodge Ram Fishing Reports, and I'm going to give you the best states for you to take a record deer this year. Straight from the people at Realtree Newsletter. I got to tell you, if you're a hunter, want to know about the outdoors and fishing, especially hunting, register for the Realtree Newsletter. That is a wealth of information about deer and deer hunting. And it's just really good stuff. Before I get out of here for the first break, it's my pleasure to invite you to go to O'NeillOutside.com or Amazon, and you can purchase O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. It's a book, and I wrote it. Well, I guess I scribbled it down. And you can buy it there, and I think you'll enjoy it. I know you'll enjoy it. And you can watch this program also unfold live on Facebook this morning. And there's Woman Williams right there running that show. Aren't you? This is radio. You have to say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
How's
that? All right. First break coming up. It's 9 after the hour. We'll be back.
On a warm summer's
12 after the hour. This is O'Neill. We need to get to some of the calls this morning. We've been holding on here for some time, and we appreciate that. Jim is calling from Monroe, Georgia. Jim, you're on O'Neill Outside. What's going on?
Good morning, sir. I have two
questions.
I have a question, but
okay.
Then again, I would probably want to go fishing with Hank the Yank because I've never done any fly fishing. He talks about that, so I would probably pick him.
I guarantee you that would be an enjoyable day.
Well, just from his voice and from his demeanor that you hear him on the radio, just like yourself, he sounds like half the time you'd be in stitches. You'd have to go to the hospital and get sewed up.
He's always got a joke.
Yes, sir. And the other thing is, in your years of hunting, and I've only noticed this the last 4 years, and until a DNR agent said something, I heard him talk about something that I asked him, I was scared to ask anybody. Have you ever heard a buck do the click where they do it 12 times and they stop and they're in pursuit of a doe? I understand that that is a dominant buck, and what he's doing is letting other bucks know that he's in the area to stay away.
I have witnessed that on one occasion only, and it fit your description of it probably being the dominant buck, because I know he was hot after the doe when I heard that sound. But it's not like I hear it every time in the woods, just the one time that I remember. So is that what the DNR told you?
That's what the DNR said. You know, it's our local guy out there, Freddie Hayes. Mm-hmm. And listening to you, and you're the one that told me to get up off the couch about 5 years ago, and since that time I have been able to take the different ones at the time that you said be there, and doggone if they don't show up. I mean, it's just like what you say, the ones the other people leaving, they're coming in.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what you're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, is when people are else getting out of the stand and going to camp, you're there.
That's exactly right. You're absolutely correct. I have taken more between the hours of 10 and 3 than I have taken any other time.
That's right. It's a good observation. I appreciate you mentioning that. Yeah, all they're doing is driving the deer to you.
That's exactly right, and that's the reason I call you Professor O'Neill.
Well, I'm flattered, and I thank you.
Well, thank you, because you've been very helpful to us, guys. Well, appreciate it very much. Keep up the good work.
I appreciate you listening to the show, sir. I really do. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And you bet. And stay in touch. It's quite often. Now let's talk to, before we get to the Ram Fishing Report, let's talk to Mark down in Camden County. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Good. Where are you headed today, sir?
Pulled out of the driveway, heading to the marina to go red snapper fishing. We got a season this weekend and next weekend.
Okay. What's the limit now on the Georgia coast for snapper?
The entire east coast actually is one per person.
Okay.
No size limit, no anything, just one fish per person. This
one
first
fish.
Weekend
okay.
We've had in close to 2 years.
Yeah, I remember. I thought it was closed. Yeah, well... I guess I can understand that, because if you wanted to, you could catch them all, couldn't you?
Well, actually, they've gotten so plentiful, you can't hardly catch anything else.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They probably had to close a little too long. I mean, you go out cobia fishing and catch 20 red snappers or something wrong. But anyway, you're talking about people to fish with now. If I had to pick one dude to go fishing with, it'd probably be Scott Walker down off Marathon.
Okay. Good choice.
I don't know if you're familiar with their show or not, but if you're going to pick somebody to go fish with, it may as well be an adventure, and fishing out a marathon on the hump and going deep dropping rod bills and stuff like that would be exactly that.
Well, that would be a very fine choice.
Yep. But
very fine choice. I'd love to do that myself.
I call more than anything else, let everybody know we had a snapper season open. So this will be next weekend will be a good time to line up somebody like Captain Mark, you know, to come down and fish next weekend. We got 4 days next weekend. I believe it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, or Thursday through Sunday, one or the other.
Uh-huh.
But we're covered up with red. I mean, there's no reason you couldn't come down and get a charter and expect a 15 to 25 pound red snapper to go along with whatever else you catch.
Well, that'd be worthwhile, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Last time I went to the snapper banks, I had a dozen fish over 20 pounds.
Good grief.
And that was not even targeting them. We were actually fishing for vermilion snapper and black sea bass, trigger fish, and grouper.
Man, oh man. Boy, you had them located, that's for sure. All right, Mark, listen, great call, as always.
Have a good day, brother.
You bet. Thanks for calling, pal. There you are. Now let's see, it's 17 after the hour. Let's jump in here for the Ram Fishing Report with Mac Farr. Good morning, Captain Mike. Mac, I'm sorry. Good morning,
That's
Captain
right,
Mac.
O'Neil.
I got too many things going on here. What's happening?
I hear you. Well, just enjoying this nice warm weather, getting out there doing some fishing. Typical summertime stuff all over the southeast. A lot of stripers being caught. Nothing special on the techniques. Herring on a downline, a little power reeling, a little trolling.
Uh-huh.
Good umbrella bite on Lanier. It's what you got to watch and what's throwing people off a little bit. You got to get the umbrella down to 35 to 40 feet. So you're going to have to either let it way, way back there, fish a lot of line out, or weight it down, or put it on a downrigger. That's a real good option.
Yeah, that sure is.
And then the guys going bass fishing, you know, it's kind of a broken record on the bass this year. Most of it revolves around 30-foot brush piles and a drop shot rig. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. I sound like that's the meaning, but that's the pattern. There's some other stuff, some suspended fish going on in timber you can catch with a spoon, but basically it's all about worms in the brush or maybe a jig, throw a jig down there. And the other pattern that guys might want to try that I don't think we pay enough attention to, you catch a lot of, not a lot of fish, but a good way to catch a big fish is just throwing a jig over main lake humps with the top of the humps about 30 feet. That'll get you some nice bites for bass fish.
Yeah, they're holding out there off those points.
Yeah, and a lot of that stuff, when you get past 35 feet on Lanier, a lot of times when they cleared these places, or they didn't clear it, they left stumps, they pushed the trees down, there's a lot of natural debris on them. Mm-hmm. It's not brush pile fishing, where you got one big dominant piece of brush that's real big. It's got stumps scattered out, old logs laying down. That's a good pattern when the fish get this deep. So is the trick is finding those places with the lake up. There's not a lot of places in that depth range. But other than that, it's a real good pattern.
Wouldn't it be interesting on these area lakes all across the South, wouldn't it be interesting to be able to have a current photo of what it all looks like with no water?
That would be a great learning tool. And when the lakes go down, yeah, when they go down, you need to get that stuff and take advantage of it. Yeah, there's a lot of guys that, and we've never been as low as 35, 40 feet on Lanier, but even 20 feet, you'll find all kind of cool stuff, stump beds, just all kind of neat stuff that you ride around all the time. It's easier to find now. You know, our sonar units with the side imaging make that stuff much more available. But still, if you look at it and get a picture when the lake's down, it'll pay off, no doubt.
Yeah, it's like the new side imaging sonar. It's like a photo, isn't it?
It really is, it's amazing. And the more I use it, the more I learn to use it, and the more I like it and depend on it. And, of course, we use it all, like now, striper fishing out in the middle of the lake over that open water. Mm-hmm. I use side imaging. I use the 360 feature. I use Hummingbird 360 a lot, and that can be, man, it's amazing. But you can use all that. But still, like you said, when the lake's down and you can see it with your eyes, then it comes full circle.
Oh, boy.
Well, no doubt.
All right, last question quickly. If you got to pick someone to go fishing with, please, of the television stars, whom would it be?
Either still on air or in the past.
It doesn't matter. Just some one of the fishing stars, tournament fisherman or a TV guy. I got to go now. Tell me.
Larry Munson.
Oh, there you are. You're the second guy that mentions him.
Yeah.
This morning.
What a treat.
That'd be a real treat, you bet. Have a great day, Mac.
Good talking to you, buddy. Have a great weekend. Everybody catch fish.
You bet. See you later, pal. This is O'Neill. Silent.
And now, it's time for the Ronnie Thames Silent Hero Foundation Award. Brought to you by Fire Aid.
Time for the Silent Hero Award, and it begins like this. Paramedic Chris Turner and EMT Chelsea Loge were treating a patient when they heard the fire alarm. Loge and Turner were tending to a patient on the ninth floor when the fire alarm sounded. Thick smoke began filling the halls, and it became apparent they find safety for as many of the residents as they could. The duo evacuated occupants as quickly as possible. I kept telling myself to stay calm, Turner said. At that point, I was trying to save as many people as we could. After moving their patient to a cot, the pair started knocking on doors to alert people. We did the only thing we knew to do at that time. Chelsea went down one side of the hallway and I went down the other, and we just cleared as many floors as we could. Once they had helped everyone they could, Loge and Turner returned to their initial patient and carried him down the nine floors on a sheet. He was already unable to move. Well, so they had to carry him down. We moved him down slowly, and we did the best we could. Now, Loge said the full intensity of what happened to them didn't hit the pair until they were out of the building. They both said they had not become paramedics or EMTs for any recognition. Silent heroes. And someone that you never heard of. They don't play football or baseball. They're not on television or radio. But they are heroes.
Save people every single day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever it takes.
All right. It's 27 after the hour it is right now. And now let's talk to Henry. Good morning, Hank the Yank. What do you say?
Hey, pal. How are you? Hello, gal.
Hello, Gail.
Hey, sweetheart.
How you guys doing?
Good.
We're getting better.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, I'm not going to give you the best fishing report in the world, but I'm going to give you an honest fishing report. This is
okay.
The time of the year for fly fishermen where we're really in the summer doldrums, probably for the next, the better part of 6 weeks. I'll tell you what you can do in North Georgia right now if you're a fly fisherman. There's a lot of things you can do, but none of it is going to be really spectacular, maybe one thing. So the trout fishing on the Chattahoochee is still pretty good. It's not great, but it's okay. That's below Buford Dam. Mm-hmm. A great idea would be to go and hire the guys from River Through Atlanta. It's hopper season here in Georgia where the hoppers blow out of the trees in the month of August and land on the water, and the trout come up and sip them. So it's a pretty fun bite when you can get into it. It's not a guarantee every trip, but on windy days you have a better shot of catching trout on hoppers on top, which is really a lot of fun. Lanier is not fishing all that well right now for the fly angler. For stripers, it's non-existent. For bass, there's still a little top water going on the north end, but it isn't really good enough to take trips on. You could go out if you just wanted to go and, you know, have a nice afternoon or a nice morning on the lake for a few hours early and late and catch a few fish. The striper fishing on the river is winding down this time of year, too. Those fish that are coming up from West Point all through the Atlanta system up to Morgan Falls are starting to head back down. So you can still catch a few fish, but they're certainly not ganged up like they were earlier. Same up at Unicoi. The guys up at Unicoi Outfitters had stripers all the way up to Helen from Lanier, and those fish are starting to make their way down as well. So the striper fishing for the fly rodder is just men's amends. If you were going to do anything over the next 6 weeks, O'Neill, the thing to do is to probably go up to Unicoi Outfitters and book a trip with those guys and go shoal bass fishing on the Chattahoochee. That would be the trip to do over the next 6 weeks. And shoal bass are a native species to Georgia, and they fight harder than a smallmouth. They are probably toughest fighting bass. You've caught them, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and they are great topwater bait taker.
They are chunky little
fighters, I'll tell you.
And they are just native to native species to the state of Georgia only. So that's one thing that anglers could do right now is that's probably your best bet. If you want to take any sort of a guided trip, fly fishing over the next 6 weeks, I would say Unicoi Outfitters and a shoal bass trip probably be your number one shot. And we're just going to take it, you know, we're still carp fishing a little bit as well. But even that, as we get into summer, the carp on the Chattahoochee River for us start feeling a lot of pressure from all the kayakers and paddle boarders. And, you know, so when they get up on the flats and people are paddling, even though they're not being fished to, they're feeling the pressure of an unknown, you know, boat going by. So they get a little spooky.
I bet. Without a
so
doubt.
So that's what's going on, my man.
One of the themes and questions for the show today was or is, if you could go fishing with any of the television or the professional tournament angler stars or anyone else that's, you know, that we'll call them famous, whom would it be?
Well, that's a good question, boy, and I've been listening to the show all morning. I've actually thought about what I would say if you asked me that.
Okay.
I've been blessed, O'Neill, that I got to fish with Lefty Cray, who was on television for a lot of years and had shows. And I was fortunate to have fished with him many times. So I was lucky enough to fish with my hero and feel blessed, even though he's not with us anymore. But if I had to pick somebody that I hadn't fished with that I would like to fish with, it would probably be Jose Wahebe, who is no longer with us either, the Spanish fly. I would love to have fished with Jose one morning or one afternoon. He was just a great guy. I knew him, and he was a great guy. But I never got to share a skiff with him, and I would have loved to.
Yes, I remember him. And I used to really like his show because he always played classical music.
That's right. That's right. He died in a plane crash, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 7 or 8 years ago we lost Jose. Way too early.
Yes, he was. That was a very entertaining program.
Yep, it certainly was.
And
all right, pal.
One more thing, though. Correct me if I'm wrong. I met him on a couple of occasions, and if I remember correctly, he wasn't a big guy at all. He was a little fellow, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. He was not a big guy, but boy, did he fish big.
Good answer.
All right, pal. Listen, you guys have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
You bet. Glad you called, my good friend. I'll see you soon. There we go. It's always a great call to talk to Hank the Yank. And, of course, I should have. Maybe he heard that somebody else would rather go fishing with him if he had to pick. So, again, if you're listening to the program, and we've got the Medal of Honor to do here pretty soon. But if you like, call 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255 and tell us if you had to pick some of the television or tournament stars or famous people in the fishing industry, whom might that be and why? I thought it was an interesting topic this morning. It's 33 after the hour. Yes, ma'am.
Do you want some of the Facebook comments?
I'd love to. Yes, please.
My computer screen is frozen up here. I've got to do it off my iPad. Let's
okay.
see. I would like to fish with, according to Greg Cannop, with O'Neill, of course. My grandpa always said to be around people you respect. I can't think of two people I respect more than the two of you, and I have learned more from O'Neill than I have from anyone else.
Well, thank you.
That was very kind. And Jeremy Leach said he would like to fish with Bill Dance. He's been watching him since he was a kid, mm-hmm. and he always loves the bloopers at the end of the show. Let's see. Robert Ferris would like to go fishing with you and Milton Crabapple. Oh. Now, that would be a hoot. That
yes,
would be a hoot.
Would.
Okay. And Freddie Bates says that he's been seeing lots of deer this year, more than the past several years in my area. That's probably because food source.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got some food plots planted, maybe.
Right.
I mean, see, I learned something after all this time.
All this time. You
yeah.
bet.
Amazing. Okay.
Well, good. Those comments in response to whom you might fish came in over Facebook. And you can watch this show live on Facebook. I guess it's going on right now.
It is.
All right.
But, you know, it is amazing, something I've observed. I've got my computer going, and I have my iPad going.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time, the same things are not on the screen, especially during the commercial breaks.
How about that?
Sometimes during the commercial breaks, you're live on the computer, but there's a commercial on the iPad. What do you think's the reason for that?
You got me. You know, all I do is just sit in the chair.
Yeah. I understand.
Okay. It's 35 after the hour. Quickly, let's talk to Wesley, calling from Cumming, Georgia. Good morning, Wesley. You're on the air. Oh, I just never know how to do that. Now, how about that, Wesley?
So I'm Winston Myers. I'm fishing for trout with my friend Stucky and my grandfather up near Cooper's Creek in the mountains, Chicago River, actually.
Good for you. I've fished Cooper's Creek myself. It's just full of trout.
Oh, yeah. I caught my limit there in like 10 minutes.
Good for you. Good for you. Now, the way to make that really special is have a campfire and cook them right there.
Huh?
Cook the trout right there when you catch them.
That's unfortunate. We didn't bring a stove.
Well, you can next time. Keep that in mind. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for calling, Wesley. I wish you luck. Cooper's Creek. I fished Cooper's Creek about 60 years ago, and it's still going strong.
Cool.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for calling, Wesley. Call more often. I'll love to hear from you.
I think that's the first place I ever remember you fishing when I first knew you.
Oh yeah,
you'd
Cooper's
go
Creek.
Cooper's Creek.
That's when I was in college.
Yeah, with Rick Hobbins, and y'all would cook on the bank mm-hmm. after you caught the
Cooper's
fish.
Cooper's Creek. How about that? Okay, it's 36 after the hour. We'll be back in 3 minutes, and we will have the Medal of Honor tribute.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Okay, the Medal of Honor, Jacqueline Lucas, Medal of Honor for August the 11th, 2018. for conspicuous gallantry at the risk of his own life above and beyond the call of duty while serving with the 1st Battalion, 26th Marines during action against enemy Japanese forces on Iwo Jima, 20th February 1945. While creeping through a treacherous, twisting ravine which ran at close proximity to a fluid and uncertain front line on D-Day plus one, Private Lucas and three other men were suddenly ambushed by a Japanese patrol which savagely attacked with fire and grenades. Quick to act when the lives of the small group were endangered by two grenades which landed directly in front of them, and here's the part that you may be surprised, you can guess what happened next with a surprise. Private Lucas unhesitatingly hurled himself over the grenades and then pulled the other grenade under him.
Wow. Talk about a hero.
Yeah. He is under him and absorbing the whole blasting forces of the grenades in his own body in order to shield his comrades from the concussion and murderous flying fragments. He gave up his life.
He certainly did.
Wow. For his comrades. Okay. 404-872-0750-800-972. I apologize sometimes, guys. I can't get through those.
I've heard this week that there's going to be a Medal of Honor presented by President Trump in the next month.
Yes.
And I was especially touched at the end because they said they did not know how long, they thought he had died immediately. Mm-hmm. They did not know that he kept fighting after they thought he was dead. Mm-hmm. They saw that from a drone. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, he did eventually die, but he kept fighting after they thought he...
And we'll deal with that in the next couple of weeks, maybe next week or the week after. Yeah, that I think his name was Chapman. He was Special Forces.
Yeah, 16 years ago, is that the mm-hmm. one? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's part of the... it was part of that movie. I've forgotten the name of it now.
Yeah.
Part of the movie. Okay. 43 after the hour. We've had a lot of people call this morning about the television stars or whomever they might have an opportunity to go fishing with. Bill Dance, of course. Jimmy Houston was mentioned. Surprisingly, Larry Munson was mentioned a couple of times. Grandfathers, always mentioned, of course. Henry Cowan. And we're always interested before the show ends this morning, with whom you might pick. If you had an opportunity to pick one of these stars to go fishing for a day, whom might that be and why? I know it was mentioned Bill Dance and his bloopers. And I have had opportunities before myself the suggestion to do a blooper tape. I'm not going to do it. Bill has that.
Yeah, he does.
Bill
yeah,
has does. That one, right. Yeah. And one of those reasons is Bill's just that way, okay? A few, I understand, of those are reenactments. But most of them are not. And that stuff just doesn't happen to me. I talk poorly and use poor grammar and make mistakes and get hung up and things like that when I'm fishing or make a mistake hunting. But I'm not a blooper guy. I don't close the door on my rods and reels. I don't put...
You probably shouldn't have said that.
I know one of them, which is so funny, that Bill is in the studio and he's trying to do an ad for some rods. And he puts the rods up into a ceiling fan. One of them that you can watch on television is when he's doing an ad, doing an intro or something, and he's walking around the back of the truck, and he runs into the trailer hitch.
Yeah. You know, that felt good.
Oh, boy. And it looked like it was true. I mean, he slammed it. But that's just Bill.
Yeah.
I know that a few years ago we were at the ICAST show. Maybe you were there that day. I don't remember. And part of his dentures fell out.
Oh, no. I didn't see that.
Yeah,
no.
He had a plate or a partial denture on the top. And he's over there doing a seminar and entertaining people in the booth. And his teeth fell out. That's just Bill, okay?
Oh.
But there was it happened to be a dentist available close by, and fixed his teeth for him and brought him back to the show.
Well, bless his heart.
Yeah, you bet.
Oh. Somebody said they'd like to go fishing with Louis Grizzard.
Oh, my goodness. How about that? That's a surprise.
I miss his humor. I would love to hear his take on what's going on in the world today politics. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, all of the political stance with Trump and Hillary and all that. Yeah,
oh,
I'd love
gosh.
To hear what...
Yeah, I'd like to hear what he thought about that.
I remember one of the columns. Now, what we're talking about here is... gosh, Louis Grizzard probably died 15 years ago.
No, he died 24 years ago.
Wow.
Because he was in the hospital when I was.
He was a columnist for the Atlanta Journal and Constitution, just an observation columnist, and he was a Bulldog fan, and he was humorous and observant. And it was always entertaining to read the Louis Grizzard column. And if you're a Georgian, I'm sure you probably remember it. I remember one of his most famous columns. It was after Georgia Tech played Georgia in the last game of the season on a Saturday. And his column, I believe, always came out on Monday. Doesn't matter. But it was a couple of days after the game. And his whole entire column on that page was, "I don't want to talk about it."
I remember that.
I'm not going to talk about it. So, and rumor has it that his ashes were spread out on the football field at Sanford Stadium.
Yep.
I don't know.
Under the cover of darkness, I might add.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it could be. It's 48 after the hour. 404. Okay, this will be an interesting call. Let's talk to Mike. Let's talk to Mike on O'Neill Outside. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, O'Neill. I was just calling. I hadn't talked to you in a long time. Y'all were talking about who would you go fishing with.
Yes, please.
If you could go fishing with anybody, I think I'd go fishing with the greatest fisherman of all time and ever will be.
Okay.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, because you know he's going to catch something.
Well, yeah, he knows exactly the side of the boat to throw the net on.
That's right. y'all's show is just a wonderful asset to listen to. Always encourage folks to take kids out. And back in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, here in Georgia, there was a program called Royal Ambassadors through the church.
I remember that.
And it was huge. I mean, every kid in the neighborhood was part of it.
Uh-huh.
And even kids that didn't go to church, their parents would drop them off with the Royal Ambassadors when we went camping on the weekend, so they'd have a free weekend. But
how about
it was a great opportunity. And
I remember that. Sure enough.
I wouldn't trade those times in my life for nothing. But for whatever reason, it went away, and they came with something called Iwanis, which didn't do much camping at all. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my parents put me in Royal Ambassadors because, well, we couldn't afford scouts, and, you know, I can't afford scouts for my son. Because, mm-hmm. It's $50 for this or $60 for that. You just can't come up with the money for everything. And you know, I don't. I wish there was a Royal Ambassador program in the Metro Atlanta area.
Well, maybe somebody will give us a call that then can connect you up. Maybe it does exist.
Well, I've been looking at some of the closest places I've seen active when you Google search it. There's Royal Ambassadors in Texas.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
It seems to be pretty big up there.
Have you ever been to Texas and spent any time with anybody that lives there?
I used to work spraying herbicide on the railroad track right away. I've pretty much been all over the country, but not extensive amounts of time.
Okay, I just bring it up because you talk about the people that were involved in Royal Ambassadors, and I take the opportunity when it's conveniently to state it. If I didn't live in Georgia, I'd live in Texas.
Amen to that.
Yeah,
I figure if the end of this country comes, and you know the apocalypse that some of the preppers are talking about comes, I'm going to take my resume and go and at the border. I'll be applying for application for citizenship of the great state of Texas.
Cause yeah,
they're the only ones that still have the right to secede or something like that.
There you go. Hey, good call, my good friend. Thank you very much. Jesus would know what side of the boat to throw the net on, wouldn't he?
Yes, sir.
You bet. Thanks for calling, pal.
See you.
You bet. There we go. Now, let's see. We've got some things. I wish I knew how to work that a little bit better. 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255 for O'Neill Outside. It's 52 after the hour, and I've got to get out of here in a minute, but let me take this opportunity for some self-promotion. If you would visit O'Neill Outside website, O'Neill Outside, two things. Number one, click on the book cover. It's called O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way. It's a book I wrote. It's a personal observations, and I know you will enjoy it. Secondly, on that page, at the homepage of O'Neill Outside, is the Southern Zach Brown Southern Grind guest book for you to use a comment or a question or an observation so that you, and it will be sent to me, and we pick those, and the ones that we use on the television show, Zach Brown will send you a Jackal black and tan knife, and they are really indeed very, very special. So go to O'Neill Outside, and beyond that, I guess that's enough self-promotion, and it's 53 after the hour. Anything left on Facebook before we go speak to Mike?
No, I don't see anything right now.
Okay. One more thing. If you're not hunting or fishing, go for a hike in the woods. Take the children with you, your family. Be sure they're covered in bug spray and everything so that they can enjoy it, and just sit in the woods and be quiet, and the woods will open up around you. We'll be okay. We're up, I believe. The show is about to end, I think. I don't know. It's been 2 hours. It's been long enough.
Stand by, she says.
Houston!
Okay. Welcome back, everyone. It's 57 after the hour. Another Saturday morning is now history. I hope you enjoyed it. We had a lot of calls, a lot of people recommending Bill Dance and Hank Parker and other fishermen to be partners, if you will. Next week, we'll talk about hunters. Who might you want to go hunting with if you had to choose? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? And I want to pass along, please, to be sure to know that the number one safety rule about the use of firearms, whether it's pistol, rifles, shotgun, no matter what, the number one rule is all guns are always loaded. You never, ever have to ask, is this gun loaded? It always is loaded. And you never, ever pull the trigger to see.
Good point.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, 58 and a half after the hour, another Saturday's history. Woman Williams and Karen Green, Paul at the WSB studio, Brian with a birthday. I think Brian's about 35 today.
He aged 5 years.
He might be a little bit older than
he
that.
He aged 5 years doing
yeah,
this show
like that.
Today.
So, did that be about right?
Yeah.
So everybody today. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. And keep this in mind. If you're too busy to go fishing or hunting and take a kid along, let me tell you something. You're too busy, and you're missing out on what the outdoor lessons have for you. Okay? Good deal. Enjoy, George, the official, I guess it's the official Georgia theme song by, what's the singer's name? Ray.
Ray Charles.
Georgia. We'll see you guys next week.
Just an old sweet song.